This is the All Saints Today podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Wilbur Allen III. Our guest for today is Dr. Vanessa Palmer, and she has a storied background. She is an RN. She has 30 years as a certified school nurse for the Steubenville City Schools. She has a master's from Franciscan University, as well as a doctor of nurse practitioner from Franciscan University as well. Currently, she is working in the Diversity Health Initiative. Dr. Palmer, thank you for being on our podcast today.
You're welcome, Pastor, and I have one correction for you. My doctorate is from Walden University.
Okay, Walden University. Okay. Well, we're so happy that you are with us today to discuss, I believe, which is a critical issue specifically for African Americans. Could you tell us a little bit about the Diversity Health Initiative?
Well, Diversity Health Initiative, DHI, I founded this program and I developed this program after receiving my doctorate degree in 2019. At that time, when I developed the program, it was part of my dissertation and also my published work. And I've added on to this program since 2019. It is a community outreach program, and it is an intervention program that is designed to help Black women become proactive about getting mammograms and about practicing healthy behaviors so that they do not succumb to breast cancer. They may be at risk, but if they do different health practices so that they can be healthier, then they may be able to escape this devastating disease.
What are some of the causes for a disparity in terms of African Americans pursuing the proper health care? Number one, and then number two, I believe there's a disparity in the type of health care they receive. What are some of the driving forces behind this?
Well, what we do know right now, currently, that Black women die at a 40% higher death rate than their counterparts, than white women. And the question is why? And the answer is because Black women aren't proactive about screening, getting breast cancer screening. Number two, Black women will put themselves last on the list to be taken care of healthcare wise. And number three, finances, money, insurance. If they feel like I do not have the ability to take care of this, the cost, then I just won't do it. I will let it go. And because of these mindsets and perceptions, I did a luncheon in April, Minority Health Month, and I spoke to the women, the Black women there at that Minority Health Lunch, about the health belief model. And it's a model that's part of health research that says your perceptions direct your behaviors. When the Bible speaks of, as a man thinketh, so is he, it's true. If a Black woman perceives, I need to do this because A, I am going to succumb to something that is grave, that could kill me, I need to practice it. Or she could believe, it's not important, I can wait. I don't have to pursue this. That type of thinking, those perceptions, they more or less direct how a Black woman is going to behave health behavior wise. So when you look at all of this, it determines the outcome about how a woman is going to be cared for in regards to her health. Now, when you say the disparity is this, that our numbers are too high. And they are that way because of the things that I just said. They do not believe that they have to practice this. With DHI, the program that I developed, it's a four-prong approach. Get women screened, teach, table talk discussions, and then a stress management. So many times women will get information about their health and they decide, I don't understand this. What do they want from me with this screening? It's not important. I won't go this year. I'll go next year. And with screening for Black women, especially younger Black women, they're more at risk than white women for breast cancer. That is a triple negative breast cancer. And it's ravishing and it's aggressive. And I'm bringing that up because when you think about screening, insurances will pay for 40 years of age getting screened yearly. However, you have Black women that are younger with family history of breast cancer, and waiting till they're 40 may not be the best decision. And it's important to communicate with their doctors. My mother died of breast cancer. My auntie died of breast, my grandmother. And Pastor, another barrier is this for Black women, Black families. We do not communicate. We do not talk to each other. We do not discuss. Did you know that your grandmother had to have a mastectomy? And so many times, I mean, I've heard these stories, literally. I didn't know it was in my family until I got sick. And that shouldn't be. And we know this from research. And in Caucasian families, they talk about it.
You said something that really caught my attention. Self-perceptions. Mm-hmm. What drives some of these self-perceptions for African-American women? Mm-hmm. What drives that? Is it cultural? Is some of that cultural?
Well, definitely that's another component of the program is cultural competency, because we understand that, and not just Black women, Black men as well. If they're going to the doctors and they feel like at any point that they're not being treated, where they feel like they're being treated as a human being, or they were short with them while they're there for their checkup, they won't go back.
I had that experience.
So they'll perceive they didn't care about me. They're just there to do a job and they're not there to take care of me. But it's so important to push past that. You cannot allow those perceptions to hold you back from getting the care that you have a right to. We have right now a government agency in the United States called Healthy People. It is part of the HHS, which is the Human Health Services. And what this agency is, it develops initiatives based on research about how the country can remain healthy. What do we want to do? And Healthy People 2030 said this, that we want to achieve health equity. We want to get rid of health disparity. So that means that getting agencies, doctors, providers to understand that cultural competency is necessary. Understanding someone that doesn't look like you so that you can give them what they need in terms of care. So important. I spoke at a symposium in Columbus in April regarding this very topic, cultural competency. Because if a Black woman or a Black man perceives in that doctor's office, they do not care about me. They're rushing me, or they're not listening to me, or I'm not getting what they're telling me. I'm not coming back.
That happened to me. I went to a doctor and I just felt that she really didn't care. She was kind of short. Mm-hmm. And so I went to another doctor, mm-hmm. and he was very good. And and she did not, as a matter of fact, she just gave me some paperwork. She didn't share any of the information with me, and I had mm-hmm. to read it for myself, mm-hmm. and which I have no problem reading, but it would have been helpful to have a conversation with the doctor regarding that information. Mm-hmm. And I perceived mm-hmm. that she didn't care. And I did not go back. I went to another physician.
But at least you went to another physician.
Yeah.
And so my recommendation, when people go to the doctors, you already know what you're going there for. If you understand, I'm going there because my arm hurts, then you need to carry a pencil and a journal so you can write things down quickly and have questions ready for that doctor. Don't assume that the physician, nurse practitioner is going to be someone who is a magician and understand you and what you're thinking. You need to be able to communicate to say, doctor, it is my left arm. And not only does it hurt during the day, it hurts during the night. Now, let me show you these things. I can't lift my arm up. Whenever I mean, it really takes a dialogue so that that provider can understand where you're coming from. So we really have a lot of things to work on in our country in terms of understanding people that do not look like us, because without that understanding, people will feel like, I'm not going back. And so they'll try other things. And then women, oh my goodness, Black women, when they're diagnosed with breast cancer, they're at the latter stage of the disease. And it is because, I hate to say this, it is because they do not practice being proactive. They'll say, well, the Lord, he knew about this, and it'll be what it'll be. And that in research is called the fatalistic approach. In other words, it is what it is. I died from it. God knew about it. But that's not true. And I have told a group of women, a pastor at one of the churches here, because I work with the churches and the pastors and their first ladies. And I said, God sent me. Because I said when I got the doctorate, I said, Lord, send me. I'll go. I'll speak to these Black women. Because I wanted to know, as a Black woman, why is it fair that I, as a Black woman, that I do not have the same opportunity as a white woman? Help me with this, Lord. And the information I've gained, understanding why it propels me in this mission to make certain that Black women understand you do matter. And here's someone to help you. If you don't have the money, I can get you help through a program called BCCP, Breast Cancer Cervical Program. It's in Ohio. It's in Pennsylvania.
Is there a website you can get for that?
Let me see. The BCC program?
Yes.
Yes. Let me see.
Because I think it would be helpful if someone who's listening to this, if they could log on to that website, mm-hmm. and they're able to get the information that they need to receive financial assistance.
Okay. Let me see. I'm trying to look and see if there is. It just says Breast and Cervical Cancer Project, Ohio Department of Medicaid.
Okay. They probably could Google that mm-hmm. and get to the website. Could you repeat that again, please?
Yes. It is called the Breast and Cervical Cancer Project, Ohio Department of Medicaid.
All right. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Something that you said really kind of piqued. I also found this kind of interesting. Was in terms of the economic factors mm-hmm. In terms of receiving health care. And so I'm glad you brought that up because health insurance, as you know, is mm-hmm. very expensive.
Yes.
And that's, you know, one of my major complaints in terms of you work a job and there's a deduction from your check.
Right.
And then there's a deductible, and then there's a copay, mm-hmm. And so I've come to the conclusion that it is very expensive, mm-hmm. and so there is definitely an economic piece for African American women to get the proper health care.
I'm glad you brought this up, because DHI collaborates with Urban Mission and also the Ohio Valley Health Center. And in the Ohio Valley Health Center, in this area where I live in Jefferson County, is a free clinic. So there are 22 free clinics in the state of Ohio. And because of these free clinics, we are able to offer services to people who do not have access to healthcare or minimal access to healthcare. Then there are providers on board that will be able to service the people. They are able to get labs at this center. So I tell women here in Steubenville, you don't have an excuse, because if you're thinking you are coming to a place where Black people aren't working, I am there. I have a nurse practitioner who's working with me who is Black. I have a nurse practitioner who's in psychiatry. She is working with me there. There's also a woman who works in the pharmacy there who is a Black woman. So there are people there. But I'm bringing this up because of the financial end of it.
Yes.
That BCCP is a program that is helpful in helping women so that there isn't a problem with a woman getting help to get a screen, is what I'm saying. Now, Black women will say, but I am not 40, because BCCP will only take you if you're 40 and up. So Medicaid 40, Medicare. However, if your doctor will write the note, if you're going to a clinic where you can say, my mother had breast cancer, I'm afraid, they can write the script and they can do the screen.
That's good information. I was just wondering, Diversity Health Initiative.
So that's
based in Steubenville, Ohio, correct?
Yeah, that is the program I developed.
Yes.
I work with the High Valley Health Center. Yes.
So at the end of this podcast, I'm going to ask you if you could provide a telephone number and a website if they want to get some more information regarding breast cancer screenings, as well as additional health care.
Okay.
One thing I think is critical to talk about also is overall health care disparity in this country. And of course, this is well documented in terms of health care disparity. Something you said I found that was interesting in terms of folks being competent to interact with people who do not look like them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that it's critical for folks, a term I ran across was bicultural competence. And so they can interact with people who do not necessarily look like them. Is that something that's improving, or is it something that is at a good point right now?
Well, right now, what we're dealing with in this country with race relations, we find that some people want to get rid of DEI, but which is diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Hmm.
Okay, in the workplace.
Okay, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But what we do understand in healthcare, without cultural competency, what is what I promote, then we are going to be at risk of losing targeted populations. For instance, brown and Black people, because of misunderstanding or people having biases about people that do not look like them.
And that is prevalent.
Yes. That is prevalent. That's what's practiced. It's practiced in healthcare. So, but what we know about cultural competence, I'm going to give you this definition.
Okay.
Healthcare describes the ability of systems to provide care to patients with diverse values, beliefs, and behaviors, including the tailoring of healthcare delivery to meet patients' social, cultural, and linguistic needs. So you have people with diverse backgrounds, different thoughts, in different behaviors. However, they are patients and they need help. To turn them away because they are not practicing what you believe, this is where the implicit bias comes in. That means that they are going to have be subjected to not receiving care for the needs that they have.
And then it seems like that we have to be aware of the fact that when a doctor comes into the room, the doctor has their own points of view as well as the patient. And so it is critical that a relationship is established between the physician and the patient. Mm-hmm. And so it's incumbent, whose responsibility, I should be asking, is it a responsibility of the doctor to really to work to forge a relationship, or is it more on the patient to take the necessary steps to form a relationship with their healthcare provider?
It works on both ends. Now, when I spoke to you about biases, mm-hmm. when we speak about implicit bias, there's two sides to implicit bias. It's called system one and system two. System one, you unconsciously are biased about someone that doesn't look like you. That's built upon experiences you had in your life, how you were raised, what you have been told, this is the norm, versus system two, which is conscious. Okay, I don't look like you, you don't look like me. However, we're both humans. God made us both. And you have needs, and I'm here to help you. So these biases come into play. When a doctor walks in the room, I don't care what color the doctor or nurse practitioner is, we have biases. But those biases, if they get in the way of helping people, that is when disparity, that's when inequity takes place.
That's a critical point you just made in terms of system one mm-hmm. and system two. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of people who do not want to admit that there is two tiers of biases.
Correct. It's true.
They believe it's all, everyone is on an even playing field from the beginning.
Or they believe they don't have it, or they'll say, but I love everyone. I treat everyone the same. However, unconscious bias means you're not aware that your biases are being, displayed. That's why you have a Caucasian physician, nurse practitioner, person of color in the room, and they'll say, yeah, but I didn't like the way you treated me. And the practitioner would say, but I treated you with dignity. And the person of color said, no, you didn't. This is how I feel. This is what I'm perceiving. And understanding the culture will help that practitioner understand, okay, perhaps I didn't say that right. Perhaps I did look at it through, you know, what do they say? A glass that is colored, you know, mm-hmm. that I didn't look through it clearly.
Right. Well, that's
I think we've all of color have experienced one time or another something like this.
Yes. I think that's a critical component, a critical issue that needs to be discussed in terms of diversity, disparity, I should say, in healthcare, because that's an issue that many people do not want to acknowledge. But statistically, the numbers do not lie. So in your work, mm-hmm. how do you reach out to African-American women regarding breast cancer awareness?
Well, it started out I utilized the pastors and the first ladies here in the city. In other words, I went to the churches and I spoke to the pastors and I met with their wives and they were on board with the program. I spoke to them about the severity of the problem or I should say the gravity of the problem. And they were able to say, yes, we want to do this. We want you involved. And so I began working with the Urban Mission, and we started out with this program, meeting with the women at that church, or getting that first lady or the women's department of that church to get the women together. And then COVID hit, Pastor.
Oh, that's right.
And everything shut down. Everything. So it's starting back up again, and I'm working with the Free Clinic. I am working with the churches again, as well as the Federated Colored Women's Club here in the city. I'm also working with the school system. I am going in and I am teaching the senior high girls about breast health and breast cancer prevention, the 17 and 18 year olds. I did that this spring. And the superintendent was elated that I wanted to do this. Of course, I'm a previous, you know, employer. And so she knew of my background. And so she was fine with me coming in to the school system and doing the teaching. The parents were accepted of the work that I was doing. And I found that some of the girls had history, and a couple of the little girls were going to get screened, getting biopsies, because of the problems in their families. But I spoke to them about drinking. I spoke to them about smoking, about eating, drinking too much caffeine. I mean, we really had a very good conversation. So the teaching, how do I get women, my table talk, I am dealing with the younger set of women. So I start with the age 30 and move up to 50, and I bring them together, and it's called table talk. And I have brought in physicians, and I was in a gymnasium at the Martin Luther King Center, and I had them speak to the women about mammograms, speak to them about biopsies. I mean, the women were engaging. They asked all kinds of questions. I did another table talk. I had about 30 women there, and the young women were able to take surveys, tests, and they were able to prove to me that this is, yes, a viable and necessary program, that we need to do it, because our Jefferson County ranks 34 in the state for breast cancer death. Jefferson County does.
Well, how has the community responded to your efforts overall, the overall community?
The impact of the program has rendered the people understanding that, yeah, I know who Dr. Palmer is. I know Ms. Palmer. I know Nurse Palmer. Okay, we're going to be doing what? We're going to get a screen? I'll get a screen. So, for instance, I sign women up during Minority Health Month. I do Juneteenth. And next year, I'm going to do Breast Cancer Awareness, where I sign women up. I was in Canton.
That's right.
And I was there. And I'm telling you what, Pastor, the impact. I was so impressed by the women wanting to be there. I would like to take my program and bring it there. I had 45 women that attended the class that I had there. 22 of them were signed up for screenings.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
I was so impressed, and so was the company that supported that outreach program. And that was during what, COVID time? Because it was COVID money.
That's right.
That, you know, supported. But I would like to come back to Canton and do another health fair. I worked with Altman. I worked with the nurses there. And we signed these women up. And the Black women, they were telling me, I'm afraid. That's another component. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid. It hurt. I don't understand. But they came with their babies in the buggies. They came with their boyfriends, their husbands. They were there.
That you have provided some excellent information regarding the Diversity Health Initiative. Do you have a telephone number for the Diversity Health Initiative?
Okay. I'm going to give you the clinic's number.
Okay.
Where I work.
Okay.
So it's 740-283-2856.
Could you repeat that again, please?
740-283-2856.
And the website?
You can go to ovhealthcenter.org.
Repeat that again, please.
www.ovhealthcenter.org.
Praise God for that. Also, I just want to share with our listeners that Dr. Palmer is also an evangelist missionary in the Church of God of Christ. And so I'm asked that she put on her missionary hat and if she could pray at this time.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to share the knowledge. You have said in your word, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And we thank you for the opportunity so that others can hear how that they can practice breast cancer prevention, and that they will know their risk, and that they will speak to their doctors, and that they will get early screens, and that they will take care of themselves. This is what the Komen Foundation calls the four key messages about breast cancer prevention. And God, I thank you for Diversity Health Initiative and for this pastor who is interested in helping Black women. Thank you.
Well, we praise God for Dr. Palmer being on our podcast today. I believe you have shared some critical information. And folks, remember, if you have any questions, contact Diversity Health Initiative. And Dr. Palmer, what is that number again?
Well, Pastor, if I just now thought of it, I attend All Saints Temple, Church of God in Christ.
That is correct.
So they don't have to wait to try to get a hold of me in Steubenville. They can just contact All Saints. I'm there.
That's true. And they can contact All Saints at 330-453-8489. Well, we praise God for this opportunity to share with Dr. Palmer, and she shared information with us. And so I just want to encourage all the listeners, please feel free to go to allsaintstemple.org. We have podcasts, virtual Bible studies, as well as virtual worships. Blessings to each and every one of you.